you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good noon, good night, good day, good dawn, good dusk, good AM, good PM, good post-meridian, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the show is not Jamie Flam, who
almost
of the show and would have been a guest host tonight, but we just spent half an hour experiencing all sorts of sound problems. Jamie apparently has not recorded a podcast from his apartment since 1963. So he does not understand how his microphone functions or his headphones or anything. And we did. We really tried.
We tried very hard
to get it together, and it just did not happen. Hopefully, he now has an entire week to figure out what's not working with his setup. We'll see. Anyway, also with me on the podcast tonight, Amber Kenny is here.
Hello. Yeah, there was a hilarious, you might disagree with the term hilarious, but disconnect. Every time he seemed to get excited and optimistic, the sound was 10 times worse. And every time he kept doing a thing
where he would suddenly be able to hear us and he would go.
Yeah,
and like, we could not hear anything he was saying, or he would start talking and then we would hear him like 10 seconds later. It was,
and we'd also hear our responses.
And we'd hear our own. it was a treat.
We kicked him off the show.
He was ejected from the Zoom.
He's a verbal warning next time he's getting written at.
Right. I mean, I have this whole booklet of admonishments to give to people. And
where did this booklet come from?
It's like tickets, you know.
Got it.
It's like parking tickets, but it's for podcasting violations.
Sure.
From the Podcasting Violations Bureau. And
and we had sound issues last week. So
you're saying we very generously because it was ultimately me that had sound issues.
But it was on me because I clearly could hear the sound issues. And I was like, well, maybe it's going to record fine. But I should have stood my ground more.
Well, and I could hear some of the sound issues. But I was like, I guess Amber, because you were in a different room.
Oh, yeah. You said that at one point. You're like, I think the room is making it sound weird.
Yeah, because sometimes the way Wi-Fi works is you're not connected directly through a wire. You're just in the
air.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are on The Long Shot with beautiful stereo sound blasting from both speakers.
Knock on wood. I do love, there's something beautiful and poetic about the fact that we've all been Zooming and Zoom recording podcasts for over 3 years. And every time it's like the first time.
Well, yeah. And I mean, for Jamie, it really was the first time he's done it in a long time. So I get that. For me, last week, I mean, we were just talking about this before the show started. I did not understand why I had sound problems. So I got a message from Aaron saying, fuck you, basically. Like you're
that doesn't sound,
I mean,
right.
Not in so many words, but I read between the lines. Yeah.
That sounds like a you thing.
I read between. No, I get where people are. I know human nature. I understand human nature, and I get what people are not saying when they're saying
and
what they are saying.
Fuck you.
Yeah. So Aaron said the sound is screwy, and basically said my microphone was off, not off, but not. Not correct. It was on, but it was incorrect. Yes, it was.
Miscalibrating.
Yeah. Miscalibrating. By the way,
that's a good name.
I won miscalibrating in 1994. The reason I should be named miscalibrating is because, it was clipping. So anytime I got louder, the mic would cut out, and I think that was because it was the computer mic, and I don't understand why it would do that because my microphone was plugged in. So my suspicion is that because I was recording another podcast that had more technical equipment involved on Zoom, so it was somebody somewhere else whose equipment was more technical, I still had to fix some settings on mine. And basically, welcome to a new version of The Long Shot. It's mostly about sound issues and how we don't know how to fix them.
It's about having bad sound issues and then not having bad sound issues, but just recapping the bad sound issues.
Not understanding why they're not the same anymore.
I also had tech issues, though, at the top of the call. Mm-hmm. I was, I guess, not pleased because I would rather none of us did, but I was relieved that I wasn't causing the biggest delay.
Oh, no. I mean, that is the good thing about having Jamie around, is that all of a sudden it elevates everybody else's status because you know that something is going to go wrong and it's going to be Jamie's issue. So that worked out.
It was good to see him, and I hope you guys get to see him soon.
It was such a bummer that it couldn't work because I was excited today when I sent him a message and said, can you do this tonight? And he was like, yeah. But here we are. Here we are.
A beautiful mic.
Yeah.
Just wasn't picking up sound.
Yeah. He might as well have been talking into a plant stand. Is that a
plant stand?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a very famous thing.
All right. Well, we always like to start the show with a segment that we like to call checking in. So why don't we start today with Amber? What is going on? What's the latest? What's the story?
Well, last week, I really wish that I had, whatever. I wish that I had a more interesting checking in. Last week, I talked about not seeing the Barbie movie and seeing theater camp instead. This week, I'm talking about seeing Barbie.
You see a lot of movies. You're a movie person.
I'm in the industry, you know?
There's days when you get to the theater at 9 o'clock in the morning, you don't leave until midnight because you're just going from theater to theater throughout the multiplex.
Right.
Are you one of those people who takes a popcorn container out of the garbage just so that you can get free popcorn all day? You're like, no. This is not that dirty.
Is that like a group, a population of people?
I don't know, but that's what I do.
I don't. I don't do that.
Fair enough.
Funnily enough, I am going to the movie theater at 9:30 tomorrow morning, but for work. I saw Barbie.
What theater are you going to tomorrow?
City Walk.
At Universal Studios.
Correct.
Which is where you work, correct?
I don't work there, no.
I don't agree. But anyway, go ahead.
What do you mean you don't agree?
I just don't think that's true.
Do you think my office is at Universal Studios?
I think you work for Universal.
I do. That is correct.
Yeah. Anyway, you went to see Barbie. So what happened?
Well, I was trying to see it with a group of my girlfriends.
We talked about this. I'm recapping because you know, we had mic problems last week, so a lot of people probably turned the episode off.
It feels like a very female friend experience. And a lot of them were like traveling or just not available, and so it wasn't working out for the first weekend. And then same with the second weekend. And so I got the blessing to see it without them. We have plans to see it for the second time together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went with Jeff. We went to a 1:20 showing in North Hollywood at an independent movie theater. So like not the hustle and bustle of the city, it's not like a place that people go. It isn't the Grove or the Americana.
Hey, how you doing? We're doing our own thing here, all right? You got complaints, you address it to me. I don't work for anybody. I'm the manager and I'm the boss.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's 1 o'clock. You know, like it's not a hustle bustle time. Right. And the theater was pretty much full.
It was packed.
It was pretty much full. And when I went to the bathroom after the movie, the women's bathroom was filled with women dressed up like Barbie, like wigs, hot pink, the whole thing, crying and bonding with each other. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, we're living through a sensation.
A cultural moment.
Yes. Because also dressing up for a movie, that feels like a first weekend thing. And to be doing it ongoing, I don't know. It's exciting.
It's like when they did the Million Man March on Washington, you know, for civil rights. It's kind of the same.
No, I like got confused. I was like, is this the, is it that?
Right. So many people were wearing pink that weekend.
I mean, it's like the Women's March, I guess. But
oh, the pussy hats.
You just love saying that. You just love it.
I love wearing them.
But I love the movie. I really did like it quite a bit. I don't want to overstate it because I don't want to overhype something that people will be disappointed in. I hate that. But I
to rate it an 8. You don't want to rate it a 10, and then you go to see it and it's an 8, and then so you call it
feels
a 6.
Like a 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the comments on the podcast, right? Yeah. So I'm going to rate it like a 4.
So that when somebody goes and sees it, it's 10, and they go, this is actually like, a 12.
Amber, what is wrong with you?
So you loved the movie.
I loved it so much so. Well, because also part of the urgency for me to see it, which is so silly and so embarrassing because I say that I hate social media, is I felt like I had to avoid a lot of stuff. Like I had to avoid a lot of conversations at work.
No spoilers.
And I had to avoid like certain TikToks and certain Instagram posts or YouTube videos. So
I am avoiding like so many TikToks successfully right now.
Congratulations. So I just wanted to see it already so that I didn't accidentally get spoiled and ruined and all of that good stuff. So what I did was I came home and just like went on TikTok and searched. Well, because now the algorithm thinks that I don't like Barbie movie because I will like quickly go past it. So I like searched Barbie movie and just like looked at every piece of content, like talking about the Barbie movie or commenting on the Barbie movie, behind the scenes of the Barbie movie, how the Barbie movie was made. And
like, is it the same as the original?
The Barbie movie? There's like been a
as
lot
the
of
first one.
I there's been a lot of Barbie movies, but I don't think it's the same. No.
I don't even know if there is really a
there are, but they're all like cartoons, like straight to
I see. I'm old school Barbie. I go by the first one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If it's not canon, get out of here.
No.
Oh, so I'm just like mainlining Barbie content after seeing Barbie like to an unhealthy degree. And then a lot of it is about different women's emotional responses to seeing it, or just like an idea that they thought of while watching it. And there is a Billie Eilish song in the movie called I Don't Know Why I Was Made that is sad and beautiful. And so a lot of these women have these like thoughtful just reactions or experiences, TikToks about about like girlhood and being a woman in the world. And then that song is behind it, which is like already it's like a little emotionally manipulative to begin with because it is such a beautiful, sad song. And so Jeff came into the room at one point. I'm just sitting in the living room, like hysterically crying. And he's like, what's wrong? And then he goes, oh, is it Barbie again? Like, he knew. It made me laugh so hard. But I was enjoying it. I was like mainlining and being emotional.
It was cathartic.
But yeah, it was like positive emotion. I don't know how to explain it.
I had a problem because I was watching that stuff and I thought the whole time that the song was I was getting upset because I thought the song was I Don't Know Why I Was a Maid. And I was like, isn't that missing the point of the whole thing? But now I understand that I was just mistakenly placing an in there between.
An important one.
I don't know why I was a maid. Yeah. Anyway, I was getting irritated on behalf of feminism.
Sure.
Yeah. But I get it. Like sometimes you emotionally connect to something and you're like, I want more of this feeling.
But it's like, it's working. I know. I think I saw that the marketing budget for Barbie was actually larger than the budget to make the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working. It's working. Like I had to go run errands afterwards and I was like, I'm going to listen to the Barbie soundtrack. Like I just like lost my mind. That's what I mean when I was talking to you briefly before this. I was like, I wish that I have a checking in, but my brain is like 98% Barbie movie at the current time.
Well, I do think, I mean, I was aware of this the first weekend and you're saying it went over into the second weekend of like just how excited everybody was about it, which is sort of an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read a little bit about it on TikTok. Sure. And
just cried.
Cried. No, but like, so Greta Gerwig, I mean, the things that I've read have said like she kind of has a take on things, and this is like a weird, you know, this is like
it's a
weird,
little bit of a voice and a point of view.
But I guess what I'm saying is the point of the stuff that I've read is that this is an idiosyncratic view of the world through the prism of this children's toy. And of course, the takeaway in the business is people love toys. Let's get more toy movies going. Mr. Potato Head, G.I. Joe.
Totally. I was going to bring that up and I'm like, oh man, Hollywood is 1000% not getting the point.
It's like the totally wrong. Like so, I mean, the good thing is it means that we can just have AI write all kinds of, you know, it's the guy with the monocle from Monopoly. It's right. Colonel Mustard. It's the Parcheesi figurines.
Right. People love toy movies, I guess.
Like, yeah.
It does feel like studio executives are like willfully misunderstanding.
It's like, because just let smart people make interesting things. Trust them to do something that is going to capture people's attention and convey incredible depths of emotion to them, as opposed to like they love like
it must right it must be the components, like it must be like the color. Like I bet we're gonna see a lot of pink shit in movies and TV shows, and I'm not mad about that, but it's like that exactly to your point, like it just worked for that movie. It doesn't mean people want to see pink movies. I don't know.
Well, here's the flip side of it, is that I feel like an underserved part of the population is the people who watch a weird movie that has nothing to do with toys and think, oh, this would be a great,
let's make this a toy.
I'm making a board game called Oppenheimer, and it's just you go around, you pick up various pieces of nuclear material. Yeah. Right. The end is you just burn the board.
You have to buy a new one every time. It's great for return customers.
Right. I get it. I'm pitching it to Mattel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to do a whole Christopher Nolan thing. Like, I've come up with a Memento board game where you play backwards. You just go around the board backwards. So there's lots of, you know, The Dark Knight Rises, and it's just the board floats up into the air in the middle of the game.
I mean, I would like to see that. That's pretty interesting if you could figure out that technology.
It's actually done with strings. It's just done with strings.
It's AI.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, what do you think it is about the Barbie stuff that is really...
It's hitting me in the right spot? I've had a lot of thoughts. One, it just, like, is a well-made movie. Like, it's visually pleasing, and it's fun, and it's funny, and it's emotional. Like, it's all of the things. Mm-hmm. Like, at the risk of being a radical feminist, because nobody likes that on the internet. A lot of it is just silly and frivolous. And I caught myself being like, oh, this is silly and frivolous. But then most media is, but it's just not female silly and frivolous. It's like Batman, Spider-Man, and blah, 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 blah. So it just...
Wait a minute. You said silly and frivolous? That's not... You know, with great power comes great responsibility is not silly and frivolous. That's a real...
I mean, neither is Barbie. I mean...
Okay. I haven't seen
I guess just having something made for you. Like, it feels good, and it is rarer than it should be. I think everyone should have media that in some way represents them or their experience. I think that media is also extremely good. It's like a window into other people's experiences and developing your empathy muscles. So it's not like you could only watch things that are from your prism, but I don't know. It was kind of nice to just, and it was in, again, it was 1 PM. There were like laugh out loud parts. The entire theater's laughing. There were applause breaks multiple times. Like, it just felt communal. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. It felt like I have experienced things like this, and it feels like other people in this room also have, and it makes you feel less alone in the world.
Which is what art is all about, making you feel less alone.
And it's really beautiful, and it's really funny, and it's fun. And there's dancing. It's like all of the things I like.
I'm not going to see it, but, you know. No, I will. I will at some point. I'm not sure when, but at some point I will. So on a scale of 1 to 12.
4, like a low 4.
Okay. That seems fair. So what do you have to go see tomorrow? Is that another Barbie movie?
No, tomorrow I'm seeing something that isn't out yet. It's a screening for work. But we couldn't fit in our little theater, so somebody rented the movie theater at City Walk.
And when you go to the City Walk theater for work, are you one of those people that takes a popcorn thing out of the garbage and just gets...
I sure am not. 9 o'clock in the morning. People are like, there aren't any popcorn containers in the trash. Like, what are you
Somebody doing? Was here for the 6 a.m. showing of Barbie. So actually, a lot of people were. It was a very communal experience. They got a lot of applause breaks and standing ovations. A lot of standing ovations during the 6 a.m. showing. So what else? Anything else going on this week? I mean, I know you said you have Barbie on the brain, and it's very present.
I have Barbie on the brain.
I also think it's funny for you to have really tried to steer away from it on TikTok and now be looking at it. And so in my head, your TikTok algorithm is like, what about this Oppenheimer stuff? What about this?
And I'm like,
no.
Trying to think. Well, also it was nice. I went with Jeff. And I think he liked it. I don't think he had the depth of experience that I did, but I know that he liked it. But Ryan Gosling is one of his favorite actors of all time. And Ryan Gosling is very good in the movie. And so we kind of went down a rabbit hole of just like watching Ryan Gosling be charming on different talk shows, which was fun. Right. That was a way for me to, like, I'm still sort of ingesting Barbie content, but I'm including it.
You're
it's like my methadone.
Right. You're like, okay, we can watch something tangentially related to Barbie. It doesn't have to be Barbie itself. Right. Like it's a show where they go on and talk about doing Barbie. So they're letting the mask drop where they're not the characters anymore.
We were even watching Ryan Gosling not talking about Barbie. Like old Ryan Gosling clips. So
I'm trying
we were watching him on the Mickey Mouse Club, which was really funny.
Oh, that is a deep cut.
But he was always that. He always was a charm. Like
who was he on the? He was with Annette Funicello on the Mickey Mouse Club, or who was? Yes.
Yeah. No, he was on there with Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, J.C.
Mouse. I believe Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. M-I-C-K-E-Y. J.C. Chassez, Carrie Russell. There was like a whole list of people that got famous. We were watching the openings and being like, ah, must be kind of tough stuff for the like five cast members that aren't the most famous people on earth.
Like, was that when Denzel Washington was on there? No? I get confused with ages.
No, he was with Annette Funicello.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that's a good way to wean yourself off of the Barbie stuff is to go down the Ryan Gosling rabbit hole to the Mickey Mouse Club. Seems healthy.
But yeah, it's also insanely humid. Talking about the weather is always fun, but it's just so gross. We walk smudgy and it's just like, it feels like you're in someone's bathroom who just took a shower.
Do you think climate change is real?
I do.
Uh-huh.
Man, there's going to be a lot of people on the internet who, if they hear any of my quotes from this episode, will just death threats, murder.
Okay? Wait, in terms of what?
Talking about feminism being real, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but I used to get cast to do different. I think I maybe did mention it, but this was a long, long time ago. But I would be cast to be in different like funny YouTube shows, and it was like Talking Head, and I'm naive, right. And speak honestly. And so one of the prompts was like, who has it harder, men or women? And I was like, let's go. And I spoke
men, of course.
I spoke honestly. And I got like vicious hate comments for a really long time. Like it's recently stopped. Because I didn't know to play the game. There was girls on there who are like, men, like I was like, okay. Like, I know they don't believe
that's,
that.
First of all, that's insane. And second of all, like, that's so awful. I, what a world we live in where people can just have no accountability for saying the worst possible things. I of course, I'm going to relate this back to the political climate right now, but it's like, you know, there is a whole political movement in the country right now that's all about that. That's all about saying the worst possible things. And social media makes it possible. Phones make it possible. I mean, I was watching a phones? Thing this morning. Well, because they like leave messages, you know.
Oh. I was like, I'm not following.
No, I was, yeah. I was exaggerating. Writing makes it possible. We need to get rid of all these things.
Yeah. You go full fascist.
Tongues to make, get rid of tongues. No one should have a tongue anymore.
No one should have a relationship with another person.
But I was watching the news today, and obviously it's so frustrating right now because anything that is done to hold certain people to accountability to like, you did something wrong here.
Like this happened
is flipped around into You are weaponizing my politics against me. You're only saying that for political reasons. Like, I can't do it. There's no way I can do anything wrong. Anything you say I've done wrong, you're saying because this is a political issue.
And it's like, it is a political issue, but
it also just makes it impossible to have a dialogue about what's right and what's wrong. If you just go, and obviously that's the whole point is, you know, the DOJ has been weaponized. The FBI is corrupt. The deep state is corrupt, you know, whatever. And it's just gotten so out of control. And there's this whole thing of like, I just get to create whatever reality I want to by saying this is, I mean, I watched a thing last night about what happened in Georgia. And this is all really, everything I'm talking about is related to what's going on in Georgia right now, because the DA in Georgia is about to charge Donald Trump with trying to corrupt the election, which he obviously did. He called the guy and said, I need this many votes. Find me this many votes. Come on. You're going to be in trouble if you don't. You know, all the shit he did. And it's on tape. We all know it. He did it. Like, it's a crime, period. But I watched a thing last night that was about what had gone on, and they showed all the stuff, which we saw some of, we didn't see all of it, but all the stuff where Rudy Giuliani went down to Georgia. That's a song, by the way. Rudy Giuliani went down to Georgia.
A bad song.
He was looking for an election to steal. He was in a bind because Trump was way behind. Anyway.
Something, Four Seasons, something, something, something.
But they have on tape, it was those two women who ultimately testified in front of the January 6th committee, the mother and daughter, who were election workers, and Giuliani had ruined their lives basically by making it out that they were criminals and that they had a USB drive, which turned out to be a ginger mint, and, you know, all this stuff. But I watched clips from the hearing last night, and basically what it was he was showing a videotape of what had happened in the room where people were counting ballots. And he was saying, look, now obviously they're pulling out a suitcase, they're opening it, there's fake ballots in there, they're using those fake ballots and they're making them part of the count, so they're, you know, corrupting the count. And they're, you know, and it was just like, he fabricated all of it. He was just making it up. So anybody listening to him say so self-assuredly, this is what was happening, has no way to know what's really going on. And I think that was one of the problems, is that these people have just said, like, it doesn't matter what reality is. I can just tell people what reality is and they will believe it and act on that, and I win. And I know this is all coming from horrible comments on the internet, but like, the stuff they were showing today is how much security precautions they've had to take in Georgia. Like, how the DA down there has said, most of you people need to work from home for the next month. I don't want you around here. And it's all because of the potential for violence. And then they played, or I can't even remember if it was written or if it was like a phone message, but either way, it was like people using racial epithets towards her and like towards the process. And, you know, this is, and one of the pundits on, I don't know what, which network I was watching, OAN or Right Wing News or one of the good networks. No, it was like MSNBC or CNN, whatever, was saying like Trump mentions this woman's race every time he talks about her. Every time he mentions the DA in Georgia, he talks about her race and how she's racist and she's racist against him. And, you know, and so this person's point was like, it's not even a dog whistle anymore.
Right.
It's just pure, unadulterated racism. And I know I'm extrapolating a little bit too far from you saying people left you horrible comments. But I do think there's just this atmosphere now of like, I can say whatever the fuck I want and people can't do anything about it because I have the anonymity of the internet to protect me. So, you know, I get to just say horrible things with no repercussions.
Totally. And going back to the actual video itself, like, and me being naive, it was so shocking and like put me off balance because I was just talking about my experience. I never once said like I hated men or that like it, but that's what they heard.
Right.
And it was, and that was like scary too. It was very strange.
Yeah. Ugh.
Like it, a lot of it was about like how I needed to die and how much they hated me, but also how like I'm ugly and that I'll never, you know, be loved or have a boyfriend. And it was like, he's right there. Like, yeah, I'm good. It's,
and I have a dog.
Right. Well, I didn't at the time, but it's also just like a funny, there's a lot. But it's funny that the ultimate insult to people like that is like, you won't have a boyfriend if they think I don't like men. Like, why would that be an insult?
The incoherence of everything is so bizarre.
What?
Yeah.
But just so mad, like spitting mad in a way that it was like, it was a funny video online. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Right. And I've never had that experience, but I've gotten some things of like, you don't have a boyfriend, like that kind of stuff. And
you do or?
No. but. It's easy to sort of go, oh, you should just dismiss that. Who cares? But like,
it gets under your skin.
Yeah. If you're a person with human feelings, it affects you.
And it's wild just to think that somebody wants you dead, like in the universe. It's weird. It's unnerving. It's not great. But yeah, and I truly can't even imagine what it's like for like a female Congress person. Because like I literally, like I was doing a comedy video. I wasn't trying to make any change. Like for people who are actually trying to change policy, like the hate they get must be just absolutely unfucking real.
Right. I think it's crazy. Anyway, you know how they do this whole thing about in politics, you should be like phone banking and sending postcards. I am doing that. I'm sending hate mail and I'm leaving obscene messages.
Oh no. You're not really taking your own lessons. No. Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't,
if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. all right. So here's my checking in is I had a meeting today. It has been 326 days since I shot my short film.
Oh, wow.
It has taken all that time. It's still not finished. It's very close. Ultimately, it will end up taking probably just about a year to make a 7.5-minute film. Thank goodness I did not set out to make an 8-minute film.
But I feel like that is normal. Like it's a long process, and it wasn't your full-time job. You were doing other things.
It wasn't my full-time job. I was getting favors from people. People were working for nothing. Like you can't go, guys, there's a deadline. We need to get this done.
Or you're going to be fired. Like
people were so generous with their time. But what I'm really driving at is I had a meeting today. I had this whole idea in my head of like, we did this one short. We're going to do another short. We're going to use the two shorts to sort of try to get to the point where we can make a long. Is that what you call it? A long?
Mm-hmm. Just glue them together.
Mm-hmm. anyway, I had this meeting today with my producer, Lauren, and we just started talking. And over the course of our meeting, it got to the point where I was like, I should just, and this is a problem I've always had, is I have decided I am just going to try to make a feature. Like, that's the next thing.
I love it.
Because now is the perfect time in Hollywood. There's a writer's strike. There's an actor's strike. No one is working. AI is taking everybody's jobs as soon as everybody comes back from the strike. So why not, having waited this long, should I not try to get in the game now? So it seems like a genius plan.
But I mean, it actually, you're being funny, I think. But
I don't know that I am.
But I think that there might be truth to it, because people can't work on their like actual career stuff. So they might be open to working on something with you that they might not have
time to. Something that's not going to help them in any way?
Well, something that they wouldn't maybe have had time for.
Well, no, I'm not even saying, like, I couldn't do anything with this right now until the strike is over, because it is under like SAG rules or whatever.
Got it.
But it does feel good to go, okay, here's the plan going forward for whenever this strike comes to an end, which it eventually, I hope it eventually will, you know, that once it ends, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to be ready to do
locked and loaded.
And we're just going to go into high gear. Because like I said, in my head, I was like, okay, I did this. It took a year. I'm going to do another one. That'll take another year. And then I'm going to try to do the next thing. And today I just arrived at the point where I was like, let's just do the next thing. Let's go right. go for the gusto, go for the gold.
Do you have
yeah. Do I have what?
Do you have like the story and script and
do you need that?
No, I mean like
no, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Is it like, do you know that you want to do a full and now let's figure, like, are you starting?
No. Right.
Or do you have a idea? And
I think what it was I had a very clear idea of what I wanted to do as the second short, and I had a pretty good idea, but not a very 100% clarified idea of what I wanted to do as the
long.
And as we were talking, I was like, oh, I could just take this and combine it with this and make it something,
just, you know, double space, you know. And then,
well, the great thing about
add some adjectives
screenwriting
and then
programs is you can play with margins, you can play with line spacing.
Just like college. Mm-hmm. You're like, now this is a full-length feature. Who knew? It just had to make the font size 1 point.
Very
bigger.
Simple. Very simple.
And all things PS that professors have no idea that you're doing.
No. I mean, how would the audience know how big the spacing on the script was? They're never going to figure that out. Like when somebody walks into a room in the movie and goes, hello, Bob.
It's a little bit louder.
No. Like then there's just a long pause because there's another line space in between.
Page break.
Hi, Dan. Looks like it's going to be a hot one today. A lot of stuff about the weather, you know, because climate change is so relevant.
Make it real boring if possible.
But I don't know. I feel like it's a little crazy to be thinking this way, but I'm also like excited about it. And, you know, obviously as with all of these things, it comes down to trying to figure out how to finance something like this. But I feel like I'm closer and closer to a position where I can try to get that done, because I do have this other thing I can show people and I pitch them the idea. Anyway, it was just a very productive day where
that's very exciting.
I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And it's also funny because
you're Babe Ruth pointing to the outfield.
Right. Or it's maybe not funny. I don't know. Well, funny is so subjective and, you know, different people Like, some people think the Three Stooges are funny. Some people think the, you know, Caddyshack is still the funniest. But
Barbie movie.
I mean, we'll see. I'm going to the 6 a.m. showing tomorrow morning, and I'm going to get some free popcorn. This is what I was going to say. It's funny is, like, of all the stuff I've done with writing and performing and stand up and whatever, still the primary thing I've done the most over the course of my entire career is improv, which is so disposable. It's like, you get up, you do it, it's gone, it's over, it's done. And this is such the opposite of that, where it's like, we're thinking way ahead. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do way down the line. We're anticipating how we're going to pay for everything. We're going to anticipate what, you know, we're going to write the script ahead of time and have this idea. And, you know,
the script is a big difference.
Well,
I will
we'll
say.
See. We'll see. But it's just an interesting process that, you know, is so the opposite of the way I've always thought. And anyway, we'll see. I'm excited to do it. I tried to create, I mean, I took, we took photos at lunch, and I had I was trying to do an Instagram post or whatever, but things are so weird right now with the strike that I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to post. Like, you just get crazy. Cause you're like, is this promoting my film? There's SAG actors in it. And, like, I don't want to get them caught up in it. And, you know, even though it was shot long before the strike happened, they're not allowed to promote it now. I'm in SAG. I'm not allowed to promote it. It just, it's a whole, I should not even be doing this podcast because
you shouldn't be talking about that.
This is going to get back to Bob Iger, and he's going to say, we're driving these people into the ocean. So anyway, that's my checking in
is
look for
exciting.
My new long film. I say long. I don't think it's going to be that long. I think it'll be, you know, an hour and a half, an hour and 45. I'm no Christopher Nolan. Yeah. I'm not going to make people sit through a fucking marathon. look for that coming to theaters near you in maybe 2026, 2027. So we'll see.
Congrats.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's time for a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots. So why don't we start tonight with Amber? Amber?
Yes. I have a parting shot, and I will say it now. I remember
perfect timing.
It was probably like a year ago. I talked about doing a step challenge at work where there was like a step goal every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I got real insane.
Obsessed.
About trying to hit my goal, like, before anyone else wakes up. And, like, completely self-imposed competitiveness, because no one else on my team was taking it seriously. And it was fully a team. Like, I could have gotten all of the steps in the universe if my team isn't. We're not winning. It was a team.
Right,
the whole
right.
point is, like, it's a team thing. And so my team wanted to do it this year. Mm-hmm. And it's a completely different group of human beings at this
point.
You got
traded.
I got traded. And
this is like when Reggie Jackson went from the Oakland A's to the New York Yankees. Like, the A's won the series a couple times, then the Yankees, he became Mr. October.
Yeah. No, I was thinking that. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh,
so
you
much.
Love Barbie. So, of course, that's right up your alley.
Totally. So within the marketing department, there was a team of people who do the step challenge happens every quarter or every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And they're like completely loco about it, obsessed. And so there was a couple of people on my team who wanted to join their team, but they maxed out. They had hit their 10 people. So we're like, well, we'll make a second team. Losers.
It already sounds bad.
And
second team in, please.
But it was fun, and it It was 3 weeks long, and the first week the step goal was 6,500. The second week it was 8,500. And then
every day or over the course of the week?
Every day. And then the third week was 10,500. And again, I don't reg, but I get so much more than 10,500 a day easily because I walk with Smudgy in the morning and the evening. Right. And then I'm also not standing still 100% of the day.
Well, you have to check in with everybody on your team.
Yes,
you have to do that in person because the pneumatic tubes don't work in the office.
Anymore. Right.
Just send messages.
Right. So I knew it wasn't going to be a problem. I even said that when people are like, we're starting a team. I was like, add me. I'm a ringer. Like, you'll get the points. Easy peasy. Nothing but that. But my team did great week one, did great week two.
They got 6,400 week one, 8,400 week two.
Sure. Probably much more than that because there were days. Patricia is another woman on our team that's a ringer. She was getting like 20. She was getting like 20,000 every day. And it was like, okay, well, I can't even be the number one on my own team. So yeah. I don't know what to do with this. But so yeah, week one, week two, fine. Week three hits. It's that heat wave. And everyone on my team decides that 10,000 steps is way too many and it's physically impossible. One of the girls even was like, there should be like a day off. It's like, it's not like we're running a marathon, but sure.
It's also funny to think about a marathon where there's a day off in the middle. You get 13 miles in and then you're like, okay, I'm checking into this hotel.
Honestly, that would be nice. I guess that's just a half marathon.
Right.
But I also didn't care. Like, I was like, I don't care. I just was joining to join. But the team, if we're the B team, team A was so like, are you guys okay? Like,
very focused.
They were getting so many steps. And apparently they had a system set up that if somebody's steps seemed to be like dwindling,
lagging, yeah,
they would call them. Even if it was like 10 o'clock at night, if they couldn't get a hold of them, they would call their significant other. And I was like,
oh my God,
too much. Like, not cool. So I don't know. I was just like, our team's at least cool.
Right. Right.
Fine.
It's like, don't let it take over your life.
And
like, it's
what?
Fun, like, but like, who cares? Doing? Yeah.
That was my motto to even my team there when they were like, sorry, we're not hitting the steps. And I was like, do it or don't do it. Like, the whole point is it's just supposed to make you like more aware of being active and it's for us to bond. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to scream at you.
Right.
I didn't go for a walk. Like, that's insane. In fact,
Bob, why are you standing still? You should be walking right now. You should be marching in place.
Well, my old manager, he was getting numbers that were like, are you working? Like, are you just walking? Like, this, it feels like you're telling on yourself. So I had like a meeting with him and I was like, I'm shocked to see you standing still. And he thought that was really funny, but it was just like walking like 11, 12 miles a day. It's just like, okay, like do it. But are you okay? Like, right. Is there something else going on?
You have lost the plot.
What are you walking away from?
Right. Right. It's just too much. Like just everybody take a chill pill.
And it's for nothing. It's right. Like for a fanny pack or something.
Right. You guys are doing this for charity, right? No. We want that goddamn fanny pack.
So that is my parting shot, is that I had way more fun this challenge than last. And I think it was just that we weren't that
You had to watch those idiots be idiots while you were just kind of sitting on the sidelines smoking cigarettes. You guys were like the Bad News Bears.
We were the cool kids, but they probably were like making fun of us for, I don't know, whatever. It's all perspective.
It is. They are the fucking nerds. Like, you guys are the cool kids and they are the nerds. I know. You know? Like, they're the ones in the movie of this event. They're the ones everybody hates. They're totally. The ones that everybody's like, oh, these fucking people, you know?
Right.
They're basically analogous to Nazis. In fact, I'm sending them hate social media mail about how much I want them to die.
That was the point I was making. Oh, I am like defensive about it. I just remembered that because somebody was saying like, oh, where most of that team sits, they mentioned like, oh, over there in the cool area. I was like, that is not the cool area. Watch your mouth.
No, I just mean it's near the air conditioner. Oh, okay, that's fine. There is a little bit of there's a breeze over there. Okay. Yeah. I get it. I thought it was a value judgment.
No, we all have our leather jackets and cigarettes. Yeah. This is the cool area.
Hey. By the way, I don't know if you know that I saw Henry Winkler in an elevator.
A lot of the people I work with are like 23. And I had this thought, I will ask them at work tomorrow and I will get back to you. Do you think they know who the Fonz is?
I think that's a good question. I think that they would be more likely to know,
like, references to,
or they would know his character on Barry as opposed to his character on Happy Days. Like he's Gene. What's his name on Barry? Gene.
I always forget.
Yeah. Which is a great character and a great show, but like it ain't. Yeah, we're living in a time where the culture is so fractured that nobody knows anything about anything anymore, unless I do feel like that is a thing that happens with like
the Barbie movie.
Yeah. Where
maybe that's also what's exciting. It's like
page.
Yes, everybody can like it at the same time and it doesn't feel like that happens anymore.
I mean, I was very struck by the just all the pictures that first weekend of everybody, like everything was pink everywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was overwhelming how much stuff people had going on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's my parting shot. Very not interesting, but, so we're on strike right now, SAG and AFTRA and whatever. And I find it hilarious that there are so many people who are couching this as the millionaires versus the billionaires. Like, those actors get to live the, you know, whatever. And they blah, 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 blah. And like, if I'm a plumber and I put in a toilet, I don't get residual payments for that. And, you know, that's because
they're playing right into the billionaires.
Well, it's like you put playbook. A toilet in somebody's house. That person doesn't charge every person who comes in to use their toilet and make money off it every time they use the toilet. But anyway, I got a residual check today. And residual checks are always funny to me because they're so – some of them are great. Like I get checks from a couple of network shows I did years ago where I had like one line, two lines – and because they're network shows and they operate under the network deal,
which is what
it's not a lot of money, but it's like $100 here, $100 there, which is not nothing.
Right.
That stuff is gone because of the streaming stuff. Like nobody gives a shit anymore about any of that stuff. I don't mean nobody. I mean, I do. And people who are,
most people do. The studios think that
studios are like, who cares? So anyway, and once in a while, in fact, a few weeks ago, I got a check for a lot of money. I mean, not a ton of money, but like over $1,000 just out of nowhere. And that was really exciting. Most of the checks I get, and you don't know what they are until they show up. Most of the ones I get are very small.
Yeah.
Well, that is what I was going to bring up today.
Oh, sorry.
I got a residual, not even a check. So I did a show. We talked about this when I did it on this show. It was a show for country music television. They had a sitcom called Working Class. And it's
a little on the nose.
yeah. Rednecks. It was basically Gilmore Girls. Like it was a mother and her daughter who was way closer in age to her than she should have been. And the woman, I forget her name, Melissa something or other. She's the woman who hosts the Sound of Music sing-along every year. She was a Second City person. But anyway, and Ed Asner was on the show too. Ed Asner was her boss. And I was cast as a monk at a Renaissance fair that they went to.
Oh, yes, I remember this story.
And the end of the show, the end of the episode was the mother of the mother and the mother bonding, because the mother was very critical of the way her daughter was raising her daughter. Just do a diagram of it if you're not following at home, because mm-hmm. there was three generations involved.
Mm-hmm. You could say grandma if that
grandma came to visit.
And that might grandma, make it simpler.
Yeah, yeah. The mother of the mother, the daughter was not a mother yet. The younger daughter was not a mother yet. Her mother and then her mother's mother. Anyway, I was at a Renaissance fair that they went to, and the end of the whole thing was the grandmother and the mother bonding over throwing me into a mud pit. And then the woman who played the mother was mud wrestling people for money after the show finished filming. There was a whole thing.
You could make
$10 against her in mud wrestling or whatever. I mean, it was just a whole insane thing. Anyway, I did that show and I still get checks for it. And today I got, and what happens when you get these residual checks is you get the sort of documentation of how much you made. And then it's like the taxes taken out of that. And what's left over is what you get. So the amount I made before taxes on the check I got today was 1 cent.
Oh,
1 cent before taxes. Now, this came in the mail, so somebody had to pay the postage on it.
Right.
So it was 1 cent, and then it was, we got to take taxes out of that. So the check I got in, I don't know if you can see it, but in the payment section, it just says void. Like, it's not, it's nothing.
It's not an amount.
Not an amount.
It's a negative.
It says void, and then it says non-negotiable. So
why even send it?
It just seemed insane to me. But that is how I became a millionaire. And that is why I'm fighting against the billionaires, is because of checks like this. So,
well, I'm on the side of the millionaires, even though I work for the billionaires.
at Universal.
Sure.
If anybody wants a void check, I just can't believe that they sent a check that just says void on it. Like,
it's crazy.
It doesn't make sense to me. But you know, the world doesn't make sense to me. There's so many things that don't make sense these days. I don't understand why certain things are happening and what they mean. So anyway, that's my parting shot. That is the long shot sans Jamie Flom, who was supposed to be here tonight but had some audio issues. Please like and subscribe. Hit the button down below. This is a thing that they do all the time on YouTube, is they go, ring that button right below us share the word, spread the gospel of the Long Shot podcast. And we'll see you next time on the Long Shot. And who knows? Jamie
maybe
said he was
going
to try to
be.
Well, maybe I will see Barbie. Jamie said he was going to be here next time. So we'll see.
It'd be fun.
But I swear my anger is not livid enough, and my memories are not vivid enough, and my nerves are not timid enough, and you are not forgiving enough, and I'm not nearly living enough to make any of this seem worthwhile. No, my anger is not livid enough, and my memories are not vivid enough, and my nerves are not timid enough, and you are not forgiving enough, and I'm not nearly living enough to make any of this gotta be some reason to find you. Aside from your hair blowing behind you, there's gotta be some reason to find you aside from your hair. And there's gotta be some reason to find you aside from your hair blowing behind you. There's gotta be some reason to find you aside from your hair.